Welcome to the Everyday iRacers podcast.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Rob.
And we are Everyday iRacers, just like you.
Josh, it is great to see you again. I'm sitting here looking at you via webcam as we chat.
It's been a while. Yeah, great to see you as well. You look the Everyday iRacer that I remember.
I mean, we've been chatting while we've been racing, but I haven't seen you in a long time.
That's true, yeah. You know, when you're racing, you're talking to your buddies, but it doesn't involve cameras. In fact, we have some iRacing friends that we've talked to for years that I don't know if we've ever been on camera. But you and I always turn the cameras on when we do the podcast.
We do. So today, I kind of wanted to have a bit of a special episode where we talked about the past, the present, and the future.
Yep, I'm good with that.
I would like to start with the present, go to the past, and then finish with the future.
Yeah, okay. So last episode, which was, almost 2 months ago at this point, you dropped a bit of a bombshell on all of us, right? You are packing up and moving to another continent and everything that goes along with that. It was an exciting notion that you were standing on the precipice of. Where are we?
Well, it was an exciting notion. That's very well put. It was like getting ready to go on vacation and you're all excited. Nothing bad could happen. It's all good news. But it is full steam ahead for myself and my family. You know, when I brought this up, like you said, it was just a notion. But since then, we have sold our house and we're selling all of our belongings, more or less. The house is sounding a little more echoey. And we've arranged for a place to live here at home in Canada until we move, which is still another like 9 months away. And I'm going to actually be moving into this little cottage at a barn.
In a barn? Like, where does the rig fit into this barn? Please tell me there's room.
Yeah, there's going to be room. Not in the cottage, but I'm actually going to put my rig in the barn, which I chuckle about because in one of our very first podcasts, we were talking about where you were listening to a podcast where Clint Bowyer was on and he was talking about how he was so addicted to iRacing and he couldn't get away from it that he had to move his rig to the barn on his property so that he wasn't at home.
Like underfoot, like out of sight, out of mind. His wife kind of, you know, exactly. Gave him a hassle or hassled him when he was in the spare bedroom or whatever. So, yeah.
Precisely. So I'm going to move out to the barn and spend my winter racing with you in a cold barn.
Which I hope there's insulation. I hope there's high-speed internet. Silly question, but is there going to be the smell of horse manure in the barn, or is it kind of insulated from all that? I mean, I know that's something you're used to, but...
It's okay. I'm used to that. It's not a bad smell.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's going on in a nutshell without getting into too many details. It's not really iRacing related, but it does bring us to present day moment. And you and I have discussed it over the last month or so, and we've sort of gone back and forth. And maybe sad news for some is that I feel like I need to step away from the podcast world for a while I sort out the thousand details that are taking place in my life right now. I say it with a bit of a heavy heart, but for me, there's just too much on the go right now, so.
And that's fair. And we've always done the podcast because we enjoyed it, because we're excited. We have things to talk about, and maybe a few others out there, you know, have taken interest in some of the same things that we do. But will we come back to it? Well, you know, we don't know.
I'm leaving the door open. I mean, it's goodbye for now in the podcast world. But, you know, once I get resorted, I think there's going to be stories to, you know, hash out about you and I as everyday iRacers. And how I'm continuing on with iRacing here and where I'm going sort of overseas. And I think there's probably some interesting tales in regards to that. So I'm leaving the door open, but for now.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you're moving to Europe. You'll be, I don't know, maybe within driving distance of so many of these tracks that we spend our virtual time on. I'm sure I'll join you at some races over there along the way. And maybe we'll revisit the podcast and talk about it with our friends here.
So that all being said, I'm looking forward to this episode because I would like to rehash where we started in iRacing, what we've kind of talked about since we've had, 44 episodes of our podcast? And then sort of finish up with the future and what we're looking forward to in the iRacing world. How's that sound?
That sounds great. And so with that, I'll say, gentlemen, a short view back to the past. When I say that, do you know what that, does that mean anything to you?
Nope.
So if you were an obsessed F1 fan, you could look it up. Actually, we should post a link to it. It's incredible. There's this interviewer that gets one race a year where he gets to ask questions to the F1 drivers. The questions are like 4 minutes long and they're hilarious, but they're unintentionally hilarious, I think. So anyways, Gentlemen, A Short View Back to the Past is something that's kind of famous in the F1 world. But in our case, when we look at our past, it all began during the pandemic. It all began in Mazdas and Skippies and roaring BMWs that we couldn't handle at the time.
That was so awesome.
Yeah.
Heart of the pandemic, everyone was living at home and not going out doing everything they used to do. And you and I spent basically every night together online. Yeah, we both started iRacing at about the same time, like kind of March 2020. And we were all excited when we got out of rookiedom. We made our way through lots of Mazda races together.
You know, people talk about being a rookie and kind of grinding on and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like it went pretty quickly. But probably because we were doing so many races on a given night or, you know, over the course of the first couple of weeks. Maybe that's why it went by so quick.
I think it took a few weeks for me to figure it out.
Really?
And then we got into D-Class, and we did a lot of Skippies. And?
In the BMW. And for me, when we got to the BMW, that was, I felt like, okay, this is racing. This car is loud.
The BMW 12.0.
12.0, which at the time, the series doesn't exist anymore, and that's kind of the constant evolution of iRacing, right? BMW 12.0 was kind of a featured race. 12.0, it took me a while to figure it out, meant 12-minute races.
We were doing it for weeks before we clued into that the 12.0 meant they were 12-minute races.
I don't know what we thought the 12 was, but 12 minutes.
12-minute races, and they were in the BMW GTE, which was a monster car. And the tracks I remember doing it on were like Laguna Seca, Lime Rock, Brands Hatch. You know, it wasn't so much like Silverstone, Spa, these big Formula One tracks. It were these smaller tracks. And here we are, brand new iRacers, more or less.
You're on club tracks.
club tracks in this monster car. Yep. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it you kind of look to your left and your right. You're like, I don't trust these people. I don't trust myself. And it was terrifying. I look at Racing Rivals. I've done 100 or I've done 97 races in that BMW M8. And the huge majority of those were in that first month or two or three of the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, these days, it's kind of the same as doing, I think it was more or less replaced by the Ferrari fixed. You know, sort of the D-Class Ferrari fixed, right? And the BMW GTE was a bigger monster than the Ferrari GT3. And so I don't go anywhere near the Ferrari fixed anymore because they're unpredictable and everyone's...
When you say they're unpredictable,
the races
cars
are
the drivers?
The drivers, the drivers are a bit unpredictable and everyone's learning their craft and understanding or starting to get a feel for that you can't dive bomb people and all that kind of stuff. So I stay away from them now. But I look back at us doing the BMW 12.0 series and I think like, wow, we were doing that at Lime Rock?
Yeah. And when I look at the racers I've raced against the most, it's a lot of the people that we were racing against back then. I see names on the list of kind of most, you know, most races competed against. And it's the same people that kind of grew up with us over those first couple of months. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. I don't know, you know, where are they now?
Do you remember Hugo?
I don't know. Yeah, I remember Hugo.
This guy, Hugo?
Yes. Hugo was in most of our races for a while.
Yeah, for a long time. I wonder if he's still around. But anyway, we don't need to go down that path.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did a lot of Skippies, a lot of BMWs. And then I think pretty quickly, we made our way to C-Class. And it was the first time that we got into a multi-class race.
That's right. Baby IMSA.
The Baby IMSA, the Michelin Pilot Series.
Yep. GT4s.
And I was scared to death.
Yeah. I remember thinking, how can these people keep up the focus to what? How long were the races? Were they 40 minutes?
We were used to 12-minute races, and all of a sudden, these were 40-minute multi-class races.
It's the first time there was a pit stop in any of the races that we were doing.
You're right. Yeah.
Because you're not pitting in Mazda, Skippies, BMW 12-minute, you know.
Nope. You're right. A pit stop. What were the class of cars? Was it GT4s?
It was the GT4s.
Yep.
And then the TCRs were the other ones. And I remember sometimes it was mildly embarrassing because the TCRs were almost as fast as I was. And, you know, if you're at the back of the pack, they would sometimes want to pass you, but you knew you were faster on the straightaway. So anyways, battling with these much lower powered cars, trying to keep up with your own class. Yeah, you know, it's just all part of it that, hey, sure, TCR guy, you can go. And then
I remember feeling like I was a champion doing these multi-class races. They were 40 minutes long. Yeah. It was fantastic. I think my first week in the Michelin Pilot Series, my first race where I was scared to death was at Brands Hatch in this multi-class 40-minute race. Anyway, those were awesome days.
It's funny that you remember that because I very specifically have my own memory of Watkins Glen. And just being terrified and going up, you know, coming out of the boot and you kind of come up and there's that slow left-hander that you can always lose the back end. You have
still
to brake halfway
still
up.
Still miserable.
Still miserable. Two and a half, whatever, 2 years later. But just being overrun by faster guys that have probably slid, you know, in the first corner and now I'm like holding them back and they're all trying to come around me. Anyways, I just remember like, ugh, I shouldn't be here. This feeling. But you have to learn how to be there, you have to be there. And so
So C-Class was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think that we quickly went through C-Class. I don't think we were hanging around there too long because you just needed to get your MPR, get five races in, learn how to be safe.
Yep.
You know, you're okay. And then we went to the B-Class. And at that point, the B-Class racing let us get into GT3s.
We were doing GTEs. GT3s were still... I guess they were a thing, but they weren't really that big of a thing.
It went to like GTEs.
GTE was kind of, you could hang out, you could live there all day long. Like that was a great place to be.
We were big fans of the Porsche 911 RSR. And they had sort of the equivalent. I don't remember if it was called the VRS series. And on the weekend, they had like two-hour or three-hour endurance races?
I think they were two-hour endurance races.
We had never done like a team race before.
Yep.
You are my teammate.
That's right. The first teammate and still teammates. And maybe it was 3 hours. I don't know. It was long enough that we had to prep for it and think about it and
change drivers.
And we had joined the Sampsoid community and, you know, very graciously someone spent the entire time kind of guiding us and coaching us and making sure we sort of stayed on track, encouraging when we took the S as well. I remember, I think his name was Sam. He'd say, oh, good job, Josh. You really took that well. I'm like, all right. You know, just that constant encouragement.
Yeah. So this was our first endurance race. And like you said, 2 or 3 hours long, we had to change drivers and we didn't know what we were supposed to do. We didn't know how you were supposed to spot and all that kind of stuff. And we were on, like you said, the Sampsoid Discord channel, kind of at its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was very old either at that point. And like you said, strangers, a couple European guys, guy from the UK and Dutch guy, they took time out of their day just to hang out with us for 3 hours and guide us through how to do an endurance race, you know, how to spot and all that kind of stuff. It was very gracious of them. And they really put us down the road to successful great days in the future endurance racing.
And I think the fact that they did that, you know, not that we wouldn't want to help out anyway, but I've always kind of wanted to pay it forward. The fact that someone was willing to spend that time with us.
Yep.
So, yeah. And I think it wasn't our first introduction to the community, but it helped shape our understanding of the community and reinforced what we hoped this iRacing community would be. And yeah, the fact that someone took all that time with us, coached us. We were rookies. We were excited, nervous, you know. Just needed all that guidance.
You know what? I hadn't put two and two together, but you're absolutely right. That generosity of people that we didn't know, literally the other side of the world, who hung out for 3 hours with us, really sort of left an impression with me. And I think was a bit of a motivating factor for both you and I to do what we could to contribute to the community as well. It was a great experience.
Absolutely. So we got that endurance under our belt. Mm-hmm. And at this whole time, we, you know, right away we'd set up a Discord just to chat. And I remember signing in one night and there was someone else in the Discord. And I was like, oh, hello there. I think Michael Etherly, who we've had on the podcast, I think you had met him racing and he landed in the Discord and we still hang out mm-hmm. you know, quite a bit to this day.
And further to that, there was a Friday night. So I set up a public open session. So I don't know, there's a dozen people sort of join in, and we were driving cars around Spa or whatnot. And I put into the chat, like, hey, if you want to chat with us, here's our Discord link. And I mean, nobody piped in of the dozen people who joined the hosted session, except for one guy, this Aussie guy, Lee. And he pipes in like, hey, mates. And we're like, hey, how's it going? Like, where are you from? I'm Brisbane. And to this day, Lee is our 24-hour endurance teammate.
Right? Absolutely.
I mean, we've done, I don't know how many endurance races with Lee. And he's an active member on our Discord channel. And but we met this guy who we've spent all these hours doing endurance races
hundreds with. Of hours. I did the math at one point. And with our endurance teammates, if they're 24-hour races more often than not, we've done enough of them that we've spent hundreds of hours racing in the same car with Lee and Marcelo and you and I.
And this all started with us just putting up a hosted session and throwing a Discord link down and somebody having the courage to, for some people, maybe reach out of their comfort zone and jump into a voice channel with people they don't know, right? Yeah. And look at us now.
Yeah, just these little moments, right? Just these, you're just passing by somebody and you kind of look at them and there's a connection, and next thing you know, 2 years later, you spent hundreds of hours sim racing.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
How the community has grown and how I've met people from all around the world through sort of different ways through iRacing.
I still think your move to Europe wouldn't happen without this community of people that you've met and this idea that you could... Look, I know that you might have done it anyway, but I have to think that there was a little bit of a catalyst here. I don't know. We may have talked about that, but...
Yeah, you brought it up in the last episode. It kind of took me by surprise, and I've reflected on it after the fact, and I've latched onto it. And you're absolutely right. It's given me, it's twofold. One, it kind of made me a little more international, just iRacing, because now we're like, I mean, it sounds kind of weird, but you know, you're talking time zones all the time, and the world just sort of became a lot smaller.
Yeah,
because we're racing with people from everywhere. And then two, for the actual move itself, I make no bones about it. It's going to have its great days and it's going to have some lousy days or lonely days or whatever. But I do continue to plan on, you know, iRacing and using that as a bit of a social anchor, you know, a bit of a grounding mechanism. Yeah, so it's going to play a role. I think you were right to bring that up last time. So thanks.
Yeah. So somewhere along the way, probably in the fall, 2 years ago, our friend Michael, he kept saying, oh, you guys should do a podcast. And he just kind of, he latched onto that idea and we were like, oh, stop. What are you talking about? The race is about to start. But he said it enough that I think the idea really caught on with you and you kind of said, yeah, why shouldn't we? And And I was like, oh, we got it. You know, there's so much thought that needs to go into it. And you said, no, just do it. Just put an episode out there.
Just get it out there.
And so on January 13th, 2020, We put out, a six-minute teaser episode.
A little six-minute teaser, and then shortly thereafter, our first 20-minute episode. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. I'm a little bit hesitant to go back and listen to episode 2 and 3 and 4 and such because the sound quality was terrible.
Yeah.
The editing was poor. But, you know, don't worry about being perfect. Just get out there and make mistakes and improve on it.
And people may not realize that the each episode, you know, we have our conversation and we kind of lay out what we're going to talk about. But then you put a lot of time into kind of crafting these episodes, right? And it's not just us talking with a bunch of coughs in between. It's something that you actually are kind of building. And it's
stop.
No, I know. And it's all that everyone gets the conversation, but that you cut out the least interesting parts.
There's a lot of cutting.
I appreciate that you have the ear to do that and the willingness to say nope. People will fall asleep during that part. And at the end, occasionally when I listen back to these episodes, I'm like, you know what, you left all the all killer, no filler. So thanks for all the hours, by the way. You put in hundreds of hours.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we got into the podcast and I'm just looking at the podcast list, like episode 2 and 3 and 4. And it was all kind of like our first big endurance race. I mean, we was leading up to our first 24 hour.
That was our focus, right? That was,
we were excited about
our first 24 hour.
Big deal.
Oh yeah.
24 hour Daytona.
I don't know if that's the one we probably prepped for more than any others that followed.
I don't know.
Maybe.
We've done a lot of prep for a lot of them.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short.
That's true. Yeah, Lee won't let us off the hook. He's like, you boys, it's 2 months
we've
out.
We've had good results. I haven't had a win. You've had a win with other teammates. Michael, by the way.
Yep, Michael and Jeff.
So we did the 24-hour of Daytona, and as I perused through our podcast topics, we quickly jumped onto the transducer butt kicker scenario, which we never really let go of.
Yep. There have been different things that we have each found, and you found transducers or butt kickers first, I think. And I remember you kind of talking about them. You said, oh, these are great. And I don't know if I was convinced on the first day, but
I had the little pucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I built them into my seat. I had like 8 of them in my little seat.
And you had these little amps and all this kind of stuff. I remember I ordered, it was during the pandemic, so shortage of all kinds of technology and everything. And I ordered from two places, and I guess I'd forgotten that. And so the first one showed up, and I was a true believer and right out of the gate. And then later on, my second one showed up, and I took that as a sign. I was meant to have two. Now I have, I guess I'm down to 4. But
down to 4. Yeah. And bigger ones, too.
Right. One of them's as big as my head, that Gamer Pro.
But, and I do, I still chuckle. I remember in some episode, you were talking about how your wife, your rig is down in a carpeted room in the basement of a house.
Yep.
And then there's like the main floor, kitchen, living, etc. And then there's like upstairs bedrooms. And your wife is asleep. And she's complaining to you that she can hear this humming. And it's you down in the basement on a carpeted floor with your transducers
on top of a cement slab underneath it, right? So I'm assuming everything gets absorbed, but she's a sound sleeper, but if that woke her up. But it's been quiet for a while now, so I guess I'm good, or she's just adjusted. I'll get a white noise machine for our room. We were early on, there's a lot of concern about dive bombing.
There still is.
I got dive bombed last night and I was outraged. I didn't say anything, but it's like, I know who you are now. I'll be watching you.
Yeah, we talked we talked about the vortex of danger.
Oh yeah.
You know? It's good advice, that vortex of danger.
I should go back and listen to what we said.
I should go back and practice what I preach.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like there was always this drive to become like increase the IR, your IR rating, so that you can get out of like a bottom split and get into like a middle or a higher split, and that the racing would improve.
Yeah.
And I've been at this for 2.5 years and I'm not really convinced that there's any validity to that whatsoever. You know, there's still like bossy people who do,
even if you move up to inappropriate
things. Yeah. Yeah. I almost think that looking at the safety rating of somebody is more important than looking at the IR of a particular racer. As I'm sitting here looking at Mr. Safety right now.
That is I don't claim to be Mr. Fast Guy, but I do try to embrace the Mr. Safety. Yeah. That's all I got. But I'm always surprised at how fast some of these low safety guys are. But then I think, but you probably aren't consistent. So you're either going to win this thing or you're going to flame out and disconnect, and I'm going to get your spot anyway. But whatever.
How that strategy works out for us is to be debated. but as we continue 2.5 years with our mediocre average iRacing.
This is what I can say for all the self-help and the technology and the whatever that we've tried over the years. We have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are indeed everyday iRacers. Yeah. There's no question.
So my IR it's actually like the highest it's ever been, really. It's like, I don't know, 1800 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was 1500 like you for, you know, the last year. And for some reason, there were like 2 weeks in a row I did really well, like Daytona or something. And my IR rating improved. Well, I am way over my head. I'm not putting as much time into like analyzing VRS and all that kind of stuff. I just want to get down into my rig and bang off a quick race before sort of going to bed. So, and I'm not hung up on iRating, so I don't worry too much about it, but I'm jumping into these races now. And unless there's 100 people registered, I'm in like a top split. I'm racing 4,500 IR racers and I'm just finishing at the back of the pack, kind of going, oh, well, like I'm not in the same league. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing until I naturally fall back to my, I think my 1500 equilibrium is my equilibrium point.
I bounce between, let's just call it 1350 and 1528.
Yeah.
Let's just say. Yeah. But like right now I'm at 1450 something, whatever, thereabouts. And those are my people. Some of them I can beat and some of them just zip right past me and dive bomb and that's that. And, but it's great racing. I'm here for the great racing and I have that at my level. Is it world class? I don't think so. No offense to my peers who are out there in the second or third to bottom split, whatever it is, but sometimes bottom split, you know, you're in the bottom split when it's below 1,000. And you're like, oh, I might win this thing. Yeah. I might win this thing.
You might. Here's my
chance. See 1158, you're like, I might be bottom. Maybe I'm second. 14 or 1500, you're probably middle.
All right, let's be honest, though. If you were to go to like a track day somewhere, you know, if you and I were to go off and do a weekend skippy training program at Lime Rock or something, we'd be way better than if we tried it 2.5 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
I think so.
I mean, this is real training. We're not just fooling ourselves.
No.
we're learning to be racers.
Yeah.
We might be reinforcing our own bad habits along the way, but in the end, the instincts that we're developing are absolutely applicable. And
now we know what trail breaking is. I didn't know what trail breaking was like 2.5 years ago.
Yep, and it's instinctive too. I might not be the world's best trail breaker, but instinctively, I just do it. Because you're going to lose the back end of your car if you don't.
Now, as I peruse the podcast list in front of me, I see things like, you know, hey, everyone gets a GPU upgrade. Well, that's not what it's about. But it made me think about my rig, my computer, and where we came from. When you and I started iRacing, I remember when I cobbled together three monitors from like my office that were not used anymore, and they were like different size 24-inch monitors. Your monitors, when you cobbled together yours, they were like balanced on like children's puzzle boxes.
Yes, I had a quad monitor that was on a like a coffee table stacked on an end table, and I did move it. I knew I wanted quad monitors because I'd seen it somewhere online. I was like, oh, I have a fourth monitor in the spare, you know, basement, and put it up there. And I was like, you know what? This will hurt me. This is not good. So I had to move it. But to this day, I now have my quad monitor.
You thought you were the cat's meow though, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You were like, look at me.
Big time.
I have four monitors. You know, I had my Logitech G29 that I bought used from Craigslist. And when I first joined iRacing, I actually rented a computer from like a local computer guy for a month because I didn't even know what a GPU was, and his computer had a GPU in it. But it was like, before I really invest in this, I should see it. You know, I'll just borrow a guy's computer for a month and see. Yeah. And you were on a laptop.
I was on like my work laptop, and which it kept overheating and shutting down mid race. And probably if you see a dip in my initial IR, it's probably that. So just crash. And I was running it on my like home theater projector and stuff, you know. It was like,
oh, that's what that dip in the IR was it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we had very humble rig beginnings.
And initially there wasn't some community to help me. There was, I just hadn't found it yet. You know, Samsoid community would kind of serve that need. I think now our community is something that people can join as a rookie and ask questions, and everyone jumps in and is excited to help. So there's places, and there were then. You just have to find it. And for me, I remember finding it on Reddit, and people were talking about 80/20, and they were talking about direct drive. And I'm a little bit of a computer geek and racing guy, and had done Gran Turismo, and I didn't know what. I was like, what is 80/20? What does that even mean? And what is direct drive people are talking about here? So having to learn all those things, but it's exciting. I mean, you're new to this hobby. You're figuring out what's out there, where you can spend your hard-earned money or save up for things.
Yeah. And when we sort of upgraded our rigs, not only were we hugely passionate about sim racing, I mean, we were doing it for like 4 hours every night together, but, you know, we were kind of in lockdown at home. We weren't spending any money on travel or eating out or anything, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where a few of my odds and sod dollars came from.
Yep. And as I look at the list here, even from early on, we had special guests kind of scattered throughout our episodes. I really enjoyed those. We had just a conversation with people that, you know, had something interesting to say to the community.
Our first guest was Michael and his dad, Donnie, who are just everyday iRacers. And Donnie, Michael's dad, and really got into the NASCAR racing. We weren't really into oval racing at that point, but we were learning from him and feeding off of his enthusiasm. And it was great to meet father and son and, you know, have a chat with them.
And he had a connection to the real world history of NASCAR. And Donnie he's still racing every week.
And then we had the Race Lab guys on.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was awesome. Super nice guys building something for the community. So much of it was handed out to users for free. They just, you know, really wanted to contribute. And look how much they've developed and grown over the last couple of years, or since we chatted with them.
I feel like we've kind of grown up alongside them, right? As their tool and the overlays have evolved, we've kind of been there. I remember I first saw it on I guess you told me about it, and then Dave Cam was using the beta version of it and all this kind of stuff early on, and now it's just, if someone's not running Race Lab, you know, it's kind of like, hey, go get it right now.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep.
And then Jim,
the voice of sim racing.
Gosh, that was awesome.
Yeah. What a humble, down-to-earth guy who has contributed in such a big way.
Yeah, exactly. That's another guy who's doing this not for profit, but for contribution to the community.
And then we had the chance to talk to a real life racer, Mason Phillippe.
Yeah, Mason.
Mason's going to be running at Road Atlanta in a week.
Is he doing the TCRs?
Well, he did TCR, right? He's a professional TCR driver.
Yep.
He jumped into the NASCAR cars a couple times.
He did a truck race or two. He was in an Xfinity car for a bit while still doing the TCRs. So he's making his way around the auto racing community and making it work. It's awesome.
Yep.
So is he going to be in the TCR class at Road Atlanta?
I don't know. I'm going to check on that over the coming week because I'm going to attend that in person. You know, he's probably still doing the TCR, but there were other opportunities, so he may even be in another class.
You should connect with him for sure when you're there.
Yep. He said, hey, let us know. So
super nice guy. And I've been following him on Instagram, so I see his Hyundai road trips and his successes and all that kind of stuff. And he does a great job. So keep at it there, Mason. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then right after Mason, we...
From the other direction, yeah. Right, Mason is from the professional world back into sim racing, but how about from the sim racing world out into the real world of racing?
Swelio Almeida.
What a great story, you know, for him to discover sim racing, as we kind of learned about in the episode, and then become a coach, and now he's like 7,000 IR or something ridiculous. And then he's sharing his story with all of us.
He had a podium, his first podium.
I need to watch that episode. Okay.
Oh, I have watched that. Yeah, it's really good. All of his episodes where he is sharing his race weekend experiences in the real world car are awesome. And he does such a great job of bridging the gap between sim racing and real world racing. And they're full of humor. And and it's great to follow him. He's had a great year.
I think that kind of brings us up to the present day, right? So now let's talk for a second about the future. Like what expectations do we have from a sim racing perspective, from an iRacing perspective, from a community perspective? And what do you hope for over the next year if we're not going to be talking about it every day? Let's talk about it now for a minute.
Sure. Well, while we may not be discussing it via podcast, I'm still going to be around with you on our Discord channel. So that whole community component isn't going to go away in my life. I'm looking forward in the iRacing world to seeing the graphic updates, you know, so it'd be awesome for a little more photorealism type stuff. I'm looking forward to doing endurance races. I'm really enjoying NASCAR oval racing now. It's basically all I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 months. super fun, super exciting. I want to do more of it. And I'm looking forward to having iRacing and our community sort of helping me through the transitions in the future, you know, like me moving and it being a bit of an anchor. So it's going to play a continued important role in my life, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, it kind of along the same lines. I think it's important that just because we won't be putting out a podcast for the foreseeable future, that doesn't mean you and I are going away. That doesn't mean anything's changed. It's not like the Beatles have broken up or something like that. But when I think about the iRacing world, it's all the same things that I've talked about for years now, which sounds crazy to say that. But it's grass. I think grass to me represents immersion, though, like realism.
Yeah.
Like you talk about photorealism. Yeah. To me, and after grass, there'll be something else that I'll want. But rain, right? Let's get the grass in there. Let's get the rain in there. I do appreciate, and people probably think I'm joking when I talk about, hey, there's been an update to the smoke and the dust. They're probably like, okay, this guy's just trying to be funny. No, that's all part of it. That's, you know, when every second or third season they tweak the smoke and the dust and all this, and it interacts with the humidity at the track and those types of things. To me, that's the constant evolution. So I'm looking for more of that. You know, now that some of the older versions of Windows are no longer supported, maybe they can cut loose some of the baggage of trying to drag everybody along, and maybe they can mm-hmm. move the graphics engine. Windows 8 is no longer supported. Everyone has to be on Windows 10 or 11 going forward. So why not use this point as a demark to kind of say, all right, we're going to revitalize the graphics engine. So I hope that's coming in the not too distant future. You know, different streamers have hinted at it. We'll see.
Yeah.
For me, the hobby is certainly about the racing, but it's also the gadgetry. So graphics cards are coming out. You know, to me, I'm like, ooh, this is exciting. Maybe I can get a few more frames and enable a few more, you know, settings or something like that. So those are some of the things that I look forward to, is that the gadgetry that surrounds the hobby. Then from a community perspective, our community just kind of continuing, right? And hopefully others kind of joining us and bringing their own kind of element to it. I love it when someone jumps in and just contributes right away, and they're just join the conversation, and everyone's like, hey, glad you're here. So I'm looking forward to just kind of continuing to meet fun and interesting people.
And honestly, in regards to the Discord, you know, you and I have some ideas about how to make it better than it's ever been. So, you know, we're going to start to implement some of that stuff too.
Yep.
To make it more robust and more supportive for everyday iRacers out there.
Absolutely.
Josh, I just want to say thanks for joining me through this podcast journey and my iRacing journey. It's been an awesome couple of years, and it's been great putting this together and doing something new for our community and doing it with you.
Yeah, and same to you. Thanks for always kind of pushing us forward, for all the time and effort that you've put into this. It's been a lot of fun. I just love this, the back and forth. So, but thanks for everything.
In closing, a huge thanks to all of the listeners and all the people that have joined our Discord and contribute to the community. It puts a smile on my face knowing that there have been a lot of commutes where people have found a bit of humor listening to a couple of dudes talk about iRacing because they're passionate about it like we are. I appreciate all of the comments and support we've received over the last couple of years. So thanks very much for being there with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone. It's been a fun ride, and we appreciate that you've all been alongside us for the journey.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Feel free to send us an email at everydayiracers@gmail.com.
If you want to continue to chat with us about all the same things that we've talked about here each week for the last couple of years, you can still talk to us about it. Join our Discord. The link is in the description. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to hang out with you.
We hope to hear from you. And if we don't, we hope to see you on the track.